Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, Detroit Sunday Morning News and Information Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. The Michael Van Tol Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. The Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, political analyst, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the Sunday morning team. Good morning, Nurse Nikki. And good morning to all of our listeners in the city of Detroit.
Speaking of Nurse Nikki, Nikki Novak, Nurse Nikki is here with some valuable information for us. Good morning, Nurse Nikki. How are you?
I'm great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Great. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, lifestyle editor, author, speaker, and good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Nurse Nikki. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey this morning, and good morning, Detroit.
Yes, we've got a power-packed hour ready for you this morning. I want to hear from the Sunday morning team because the team, oh, my God, there's so much going on. This superstar team here with me this morning. I want to welcome all of those people who are listening from our LinkedIn posts, from the Facebook pages. Thank you all the people that I have run into over the last week out at events. Thank you for listening to the show this morning. If your company would like to join the list of companies that are supporting the program this morning, call this one number, 313-510-9680, 313-510-9680, and we will get you on the show. We've got some guests lined up. We've got some guests coming up later this month, and I will let you know about it once we get confirmed. I've already spoken to them, and all we got to do is confirm the dates. I just want you to let you know about a few things that are going on. Commissioner Wayne County Commissioner Monique Baker McCormick is hosting a pre-Father's Day Health and Resource Fair at the Redford Branch Library on Thursday, June 8th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. There are going to be at least six major health organizations there that day for this health fair. We're expecting hundreds. We're expecting a number of organizations I've already confirmed with. And we're looking for free health screenings. We're going to have the Wayne Mobile Unit there, Dental Care Health Choice, Wayne Metro, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Foundation, Utility Assistance, and more. A lot going on. There are going to be food trucks out there Thursday, June 8th from 5:30 p.m. to 8. And we hope that it's great weather, too. Look, yesterday... The Women in Ministry and Business Network's Forbes Circle Awards program was at the Gospel Music Cafe on Livernois. We had a great time, standing room only. I tell you, Apostle Sabrina McKenzie knocked it out the park yesterday. We gave some awards. The commissioner also gave some awards out yesterday. Randy Miles from the Praise Network, my good friend Randy Miles, was one of the award winners. And Jeffrey Taylor, one of my buddies, he received an award. But we got some valuable, helpful information from Sabrina McKenzie. You know, she's from Bravo's In a Man's World reality show, and she is here in town promoting this event. We had a great time yesterday. Let me name some organizations that I have to, every time I go out, even yesterday, I have to make sure and mention Franklin Wright Settlements and the work that the Franklin Wright is doing across Southeast Michigan. And Kimberly, you're on the board with me. One thing that I was really happy to hear that our services are expanding beyond the borders of Detroit, beyond Wayne County, you know, and it just tells you, I knew something was going on during the pandemic. Couldn't you mm-hmm. feel it that Franklin Wright was becoming, getting bigger and bigger, and the influence has been growing, hasn't it?
It has. You know, when you put out good quality service, people will come. I know that that's, you know, one of those things that we like to say because it was based in a movie. If you build it, they will come. But it really is true. Franklin Wright Settlements, under the leadership of Monique Mark, she has just done an amazing job, her and her team, of putting together programs that service people who need food, who need counseling, who need after-school programming. Michael, it was so exciting at our last meeting to hear about after-school programming happening in Oakland County. This is a need. Franklin Wright Settlements is answering the community's call for action, and it is just a privilege and an honor to be a part of an organization.
It really is, and I really enjoy it. I just stopped by the other day to visit the Midtown campus, and President Marks was in the pantry getting some stuff together for filling homeless bags for the homeless, for the hungry,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of took off my jacket and, you know, started helping too, because, you know, the difference with Monique Marks is that if she doesn't leave it up to the staff and volunteers, when you go down there, she is the one that
she is hands on
and taking the kids somewhere, you know, she really gets in there and does the work. It's not for photo op, you know, some places. She's the real deal. And I really, mm-hmm. you know, and so those of you who would like to contribute to Franklin Wright, here's the number, 313-579-1000, 313-579-1000, if you would like to contribute to Franklin Wright and get your tax deduction, or if you need some of the services they provide. Absolutely. All right. Oh, and then another organization, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan. If you go to my Facebook page, Michael Van Tulle, V-A-N-T-U-L-L, it's two words. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see that there's a link to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan. Click on that, make a donation, check. I know a lot of people are listening to this show. Write a big check. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to turn down, like, $50 or $100 or anything like that, but I'm appealing to some of y'all. I know you got it, okay? I know how mm-hmm. successful you are. You know, I know how much money. I was a banker for 32 years. I know what's in your account. I know you can write a check for $5,000, $10,000. Well, look, team, I'm going to put it on Facebook today. I'm going to put that on there. I'm going to call them out. I know you have $5,000 that you can contribute, and they won't even miss a beat, okay? There's people out there shopping now for Range Rover.
That's right.
I would call them out.
That's right.
I would call them mm-hmm. out. Y'all, trying to shop for their next car, you know, don't even need it, okay? They just want to get the latest. You know, so I'm gonna try to be worded politely, okay? you know, so you're gonna get your new Range Rover.
Sometimes you just have to be blunt and direct.
Right.
Tell it like it is.
Distribute $5,000. You know, you trying to decide how much down payment you're gonna put on this truck, on this Denali or something. I'm going to call them out. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. Yeah. All right.
Get them.
Okay. when we we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got the latest in news and weather right after these messages.
Is a member of the Real Team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosreality@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight.
Okay, we're back. Michael Van Tool, Sunday Morning Team is here. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We appreciate you listening online. Let me welcome another member of the Sunday Morning Team, Chaplain Kathy from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association. Good morning, Chaplain.
Hey, good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the missionary. Good morning to the members of the Sunday Morning Team. Unfortunately, I'm on a security detail right now, so I can't be on the phone and I don't have an earpiece with me. I left it at home. So God bless you all today. Shout out to
God
the church.
You.
And I look forward to being on that. Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking the time and thinking about us this morning and calling in, and even though you're working. You know that? That's dedication.
Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt.
We're impressed.
Amen. So God bless you all, and I look forward to hearing from you guys. Next Sunday I won't be working, so I'll be online. God bless you all.
Yes, sir. Okay, God bless you, man. Thank you. Okay, be safe out there.
All right.
Okay.
I will. Bless you to the Sunday Morning Team. I love you guys.
God bless.
You,
be safe.
Bless
love
you, too.
Right. Thank you, man. Thank you. All right. In the news this morning, Bed Bath & Beyond, founded in 1971, has filed for bankruptcy. In February, it was able to stave off bankruptcy by completing a complex stock offering that gave it both an immediate injection of cash and a pledge for more funding in the future to pay down its debt. That offering was backed by private equity group Hudson Bay Capital, but Bed Bath & Beyond last month said it terminated the deal with Hudson Bay Capital for future funding and was turning to the public market to try to raise funds. The company has also been shrinking to save money. It closed 400 stores, but would keep open profitable stores in key markets, and the company tried to save money by not paying severance to some laid-off workers at closing stores. Bed Bath & Beyond laid off 1,295 workers in New Jersey this month, just days before a new state law kicked in that mandated severance pay equal to 1 week of pay for each year of employment for workers who lose their jobs. All these moves were not enough to keep the once dominant chain out of bankruptcy. Bed Bath & Beyond is the latest retail chain to file for bankruptcy this year. Bankruptcies are piling up in the retail sector as interest rates go up and the discretionary spending slows down. David's Bridal filed for bankruptcy. Party City bankrupt Tuesday morning. That was one of my favorite stores. Serta, the mattress manufacturer, Serta Simmons, is out of business. I like Tuesday morning because you can go in there, Nikki, and just get little gifts, and they were reasonable. That was my secret. Anytime there was some sort of like for my employees at the bank, or if I wanted to get a little gift, you know, let's say I was going to, you know, headed to somebody's a party or an anniversary or something, I would go in there and get a little gift, you know, and it looks expensive, but, you know, it didn't cost much. I wouldn't go there for you guys, though, you know. I'll go somewhere else and, you know, more expensive, real, you know, expensive stuff for you guys. But Tuesday morning was really inexpensive. I like Tuesday morning.
It's a nice store.
Yes. But unfortunately, some former employees have not been receiving their severance pay as promised, nor have they received their annual 401k match contribution for 2002. Hey, that's tough, you know. Charles Barkley and Gayle King will host a new show primetime on CNN called King Charles starting this fall, and it's scheduled to run into 2024. The talk show will be non-political and based on opposing opinions and cover a variety of topics. Let's see how that works. You know, non-political. Come on.
That's what I said, non-political. How's that going to work?
You know,
because
more than half the topics are political. They are not going to be able to stay off of politics, okay? You just can't. You just can't. The U.S., France, and other countries are evacuating their diplomatic personnel from Sudan after warring factions ended a week of heavy fighting. The Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces have clashed in Sudan, leaving hundreds dead and thousands wounded. U.S. President Joe Biden said the intense battles between the two opposing Sudanese groups pose an unacceptable risk to our embassy and our personnel. Greektown businesses are bracing for a hot summer of uncertainty as the City of Detroit and the Detroit Police Department try to ease their fears by implementing a new safety enforcement plan for downtown Detroit streets. DPD will use cameras, metal detectors, and a heavy police presence to combat the immediate rise in violence by young people downtown on the weekends. The 12-point plan was implemented immediately to ensure safety and security. Last Saturday, police closed off Monroe Street to all cars and pedestrians in Greektown Market. And I understand that there were functions going on downtown that people were not allowed to go to. You know, that's just disturbing that you're going downtown to an affair or a function and you can't get there because the police have shut down the area. And that's what happened last weekend. People were complaining that they couldn't go to certain functions because the streets were blocked and the police would not let people go. So, it's ruining the quality of life. It ruins the value of the properties downtown. You know, when these groups of people go out and cause all this fighting. Streets were shut down after the fatal shooting of a security guard in a Greektown market who was trying to quell a disturbance inside the store. Tonight, there's a vigil at 8 p.m. in memory of Daryl Strotter, who was shot and killed inside Athens Liquor on Saturday. Unfortunate. Really sad. All right. Kimberly, what's the weather like? It looks great here. We're looking out of the studios here in Southfield. Oh, and look, I am going to try my best to make sure that we get a complete system here to bring the Sunday morning team back, hopefully before the end of the summer, so that we can be in studio since things are getting a little better. So that is my plan, and we may even go video too. I'm looking at doing that too. So I just want to give you an update. That's the plan is to expand to a elaborate podcasting system here in the studio so that we can have all the Sunday morning team here Sunday mornings. Okay, Kimberly, what's the weather?
It's currently 38 degrees, and that sounds great, Michael. It's 38 degrees today. We'll have mostly cloudy skies right now. The sun is peeking out. It looks wonderful. A high today of 52 degrees, we should expect, with a low of 35. So listen, guys, we got spoiled a couple weeks ago. It was 70 and 80 degrees, and we were like, oh, spring is here. So if you put your plants outside, you need to cover them because there is a threat of frost this evening, especially in our northern suburbs. So a low of 35, that's really close to frost. Tomorrow, expect more mostly cloudy skies with a high of 54 and a low of 34. On Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 54 and a low of 38. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 56 degrees and a low of 39. On Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 60 with a low of 41.
Rain.
On Friday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 62 and a low of 40. And next Saturday, expect scattered showers with a high of 64 degrees and a low of 43. So you need a jacket. You don't really need an umbrella until next Saturday. But try to layer up and make sure that you cover your plants this week.
Yes.
I think that after,
the temperatures are gradually going up now, I think this is it.
Mm-hmm.
That thing we saw the other day with the 82-degree days, that wasn't real. That wasn't for real.
It was a joke. It was a prank.
After this, after this next little, when we get back up after this, the next 10 days, it's on and popping. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Nurse Nikki is here. Nurse Nikki, what you got for us today?
Good morning. I was just thinking about, you know, in the news with Jamie Foxx, right? So this,
what's going on with him? Tell us what's going on with him, Nurse Nikki.
Well, the rumor is that he had a stroke, right?
Oh.
So that's the rumor that's out there. People are confirming it, but I haven't seen any, you know, definite speaking out from the family.
Let me just say this.
Stroke awareness.
If, you know, ain't it strange how these celebrities are so visible, public with everything? And as soon as something happens with them and their family, everything gets shut down. I mean, they just all out with everything else, you know. But as soon as it's them and their family, it goes like on a blackout. I mean, come on now. They want to have it. You can't have it both ways now, you know. This guy is like one, if not the number one actor in the world, okay. And he's one of the top comedians. But why they got to black and hide out the stuff, you know? Just be honest. I don't get it.
Especially when it's so important for people to be aware of how stroke strikes people, how sudden it can be, how a life is changed, the life of the family is changed immediately. You know, so there's two different types of stroke. One is called an ischemic stroke, and one is a hemorrhagic stroke. One is based on a clotting in your blood vessels in your brain, and then the other one is based on a rupturing in the blood vessel in the brain. Yeah. So it's two different types of stroke. You know, and I was looking at statistics in Michigan, and the latest I have is 2018, where, and I'm sure it's changed by now with COVID, but in 2018, stroke in Michigan was the fifth leading cause of death, accounted for over 5,180 deaths. So that's pretty significant. The risk factors, and again, we still have a lot of people that are smoking. You know, it's an addictive, very highly addictive habit that people have, and it's jeopardizing them because it's a leading cause of a risk factor for stroke, along with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and a body mass index greater than, or otherwise known as your BMI, greater than 25. So being overweight and also being what is called obese with a BMI over 30. So, you know, most people that present with a stroke have numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg. That's one thing. If you're with anybody and they start complaining of numbness on one side of their face, or arm or leg, that's an indicator to get to the hospital immediately, because you don't know if it's what they call a transient ischemia attack, which is a TIA, which is transient, it comes and then it goes, or you don't know if it's a full stroke, because there's interventions that can be done if you get to the hospital soon enough, and they see you soon enough, that's another thing, so know what those signs and symptoms of a stroke are. The second leading symptom was confusion or trouble speaking. 45.1% of people presented with that versus the numbness of pain in 48.4%. Sometimes there's other symptoms, but we're looking at trouble with vision, trouble walking, dizziness, or loss of balance. So dizziness, and sometimes people just get dizzy, and they say, oh, it's just a little dizziness, but that indeed can also be a stroke. And one thing to watch out for is if you've ever had a severe headache, like the worst headache you've ever had in your life, go to the emergency room. That could be a blood vessel rupture in your brain. And I've seen it a few times, of course, working my ER experience. And when those happen and people come in and all of a sudden they're just unconscious and under and looking for neurology to come in and do a procedure to stop the bleed, you know, and open up the brain from the swelling. So, you know, best to call 911. Majority of people do call 911 when they have their symptoms, and that's the best thing to do, because with 911, you get medical professionals to your house or wherever you are, and then they can start procedures right away, right, which you can't get if you are trying to transport yourself or your family member. 13.1%, you know, did use what we call private transportation. And so, again, 911 would be the best way. So, again, you know, we're looking at populations affected. You're looking at black men and women having the highest hospitalization rate and the highest death rate when it comes to stroke. And so this is something we need to pay attention to. We need to have higher awareness, and we need to start paying attention to what's going on with our stress levels, our eating, our weight, and all those things, our smoking, to make sure that we're lowering our risk factors for stroke, because it has impacted so many people. And when it strikes, it's either deadly or very debilitating. Imagine, you know, the dominant side of your body, or losing your vision. Mm. In a wheelchair, you can't walk. You can't, you know, bite yourself. You know, you can't go to the toilet by yourself. You can't cook your own food.
Scary.
You know? And so these are life.
Yes.
And so, you know, when people are in the public space experience these things, you know, it's nice if they would tell us about it, you know, but more so, having this type of information available to us on this talk show, community fairs like Michael talked about, going to, you know, just different spaces to get educated and then getting help to make those changes is absolutely key and crucial, because it strikes suddenly and quickly and boom.
So, Nurse Nikki, what are the two? You said one is when a blood vessel ruptures. What's the other one?
We have an ischemic attack, and the other is a hemorrhagic stroke. So the ischemic, when you think of like a heart attack, it's usually a clot in your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be called a brain attack as well, because there's a clotting of the blood vessel in your brain and or a rupture of the blood vessel. So it's a stroke either way, but depending on the type. So one is a blockage of oxygen to the brain by way of a clot, and the other was plaque or whatnot. The other is the way of just that rupturing of the blood vessel just ruptures. Boom. And starts bleeding in the head.
Yeah, that is, it's life-changing, because that's one of those things that can happen. You could be all fine one day, and the next day, you need a wheelchair. I mean, I know, Henrietta, I know you've had patients that were had strokes before. I know you're very familiar with this.
Absolutely. My mom had the ischemic stroke back in 2013. And she is very debilitated. She can't move right now. She's totally bedbound. I mean, at one point, she had the stroke. She was walking. When she had the stroke, initially it was like she was, you know, was in the wheelchair, but she was still able to get up. She was using the wheelchair just to kind of get to and from, but she was still able to stand. And then for some reason, right around, she kept having them back to back. And the last one she had debilitated her. So she can't get out of the bed. She can't sit up. She's contorted. And she can only move her head. and fingers just a little bit. But hers came from, of course, excessive drinking and smoking and more than likely poor diet. But it definitely, when you think about strokes and health and, you know, healthy living, it is key to have a healthy lifestyle to prevent certain things as you age.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was, and then I have, you know, of course, you had the patients that had strokes due to stress and other things that brought it on. It is important. You know, health is important. People have to understand your health is your wealth.
Yeah, and strokes are one of those things that is really based on, I guess, like Henrietta said, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, because there's not really no advanced notice of something like that, is there?
Well, sometimes people may have what are called a TIA, transient ischemic attack, and that it will come briefly, it will go, and that's an indicator that you're at risk for a stroke. Again, when you talk about, you know, dizziness, episode of dizziness.
Oh, yeah, dizziness,
know,
Mm-hmm.
You may have some symptoms that you don't pay much attention to that's leading up to it, you know, just kind of losing your balance. Ooh, what was that? You know, that could definitely be an indicator. You know, but if you know that you're a smoker, then you know that you're at higher risk, period, point blank. You know, no questions asked. Wow. That leads to the hardening of the arteries and build up of plaque in the arteries, and that blood supply to your brain.
All right, Nurse Nikki, thank you for that valuable information, and we hope that Jamie Foxx recovers 100% after this. We're not 100% sure what happened, but that is really believable and plausible, and we hope that he has a full recovery. Henrietta Ivy, how did your event go yesterday, and tell us what's going on?
The event was amazing. It was uplifting, inspiring, educational, informational. We had, it was people from Canada, South Carolina, and myself, and the sponsors, the host of the event were all from Michigan. And we talked about things from mental illness awareness to home care, health care awareness, financial literacy, and economic development and leadership in this country. So it was really, really an uplifting event. I'm looking forward to next year's event. Had the opportunity to speak on caregiving and the importance of it, and given the statistics and the numbers behind why I fight for this workforce the way that I do. And I got a lot of inboxes about that portion after the fact. So it was pretty cool. I have to say it was very successful. I enjoyed it. I pretty truly did. So we're going to have it again next year. It's going to become an annual conference. So for those that didn't get a chance to come in yesterday, I will be sharing a Zoom link, if I haven't already, for you to view it. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. It was the first one that from Women to Queen. And, Michael, you know who that is. That's Trista Billingsley. She came on the show.
Yep,
we were at 99.9.
Yep.
Let me tell you, when I keep telling you, this sister is trailblazing. She has done so much since that show, so much. And you have got to bring her back on, let her give you a follow-up.
Yes,
on
we definitely,
all the things
I'll,
she does.
I'll make sure. Yep, we got to get her back on.
Indicated. Yeah, she's indicated
it's
that
been
changed
a few
her
years.
Life. Like, it really
it's
changed
been
her.
A few years since,
yep, it's,
since
it's been
you've
a
been
few
on
years.
The show. We were on the Praise Network.
We were on the Praise Network.
Yep.
But she said it changed her life. And let me tell you, she has been doing amazing things. She's now a 501c3. She's just doing so many things. She has a lot of community events that she's involved in. So it was put on by her and Dina, the network junkie, who was also another young lady who was trailblazing in the community. These young women are really out here doing things that changing the game in our community and moving it forward progressively. So very proud of these young people, and I'm very happy they included me in this conference. So that was a big thing for me, and it went very well. But I do have another thing, Michael. I have a couple of political trivia questions for you guys this morning. And use these trivia questions. I use them to inform people and to have a listener think about who your leadership is, people that are responsible for things moving in our community. leadership-wise, and who you need to think about when you think about the Democratic political party and these leaders that are in these parties. So the first question is, who is the Democratic Party for Michigan? And I ask that question to you guys, like, do you know who your Democratic leaders are for the Michigan Democratic Party?
Look, I haven't known since Mark Brewer. Now, you know, that's a few years ago.
That's a long time ago.
I know. So, right, I should know that.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I don't even want
to. No, it's okay.
I'm afraid that slipped out.
It is okay. It's a question I ask to my community when I'm out canvassing and talking to people. And I like to ask that fun question, like, do you know who your leadership is? And most people in our communities and in our districts don't know. And those that politically are inclined are just that handful. And they don't, you know, since COVID, you really haven't had the opportunity to really get out and talk to your neighbors about who's the leaders, who's doing what, who's responsible for what they're doing,
okay,
what they're not doing.
Who is it? Because I'm just dying here. I'm embarrassed.
Right.
That I don't know.
So
have they been very
your
vocal?
Your Michigan Democratic Party leadership is Chairperson Lavora Barnes, Jason Morgan.
How come we don't hear about all this? I don't hear about this.
Because the Republicans have hijacked the microphone and
absolutely.
The Kristen lady.
Absolutely.
Kristen Caramo is the chair of the Republican Party.
I know.
Right.
Now,
right.
If you would have asked me,
the
Republican Party in Michigan, I know it's that, I mean, not Coots, but it's the Christina Caramo lady.
Yeah, she's the new head. She's the new chair for the Republican Party now. She's the new chair.
Yeah. Good for
so,
them.
Then we
okay,
have
so
a
who's
second
who's
vice chair
the,
is Erica Geis, and third vice chair
now.
Is Jonathan Kinloch. And
okay.
If you know who Jonathan Kinloch is, he's the brother of the Triumph Church. So you have the
mm-hmm.
Kinloch family, who's very prominent in Detroit, and Jonathan happened to be sitting on the board of the Michigan Democratic Party. So those are your leaders for the Michigan Democratic Party.
Okay.
Those are the people who send you out
the
information on joining. Huh?
Who's the chair? I missed that again. What's her name?
Lavora
Barnes.
How do you spell it?
L-A-V.
L-A-O-R-A.
O-R-A. Yeah.
Lavora Brown.
Barnes is Barnes. B-A-R-N-E-S.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you...
Yeah.
See, I'm glad I'm up listening to the Michael Van Til show this morning. Because I learned something new this morning. Because I did not... And I talked to Commissioner Kinloch every week. And I did not know he was the vice chair. And
he's
Wow.
And he's also
you.
On the board of canvassers, too. Now, mind you, he's the chair of the board of canvassers, too, in the state of Michigan.
Wow. Okay.
So he helps make decisions on, you know, allowing votes and overturning votes and all that. He has the say in whether or not they need to let it go through or not let it go through or, you know, make a change or not make a change when it comes to voters' concerns or issues with the ballot and
I'm gonna edit this program.
Put on that board.
I'm gonna edit this program and delete that part where I said I didn't know who the chair of the Democratic Party was or the vice chair. And I talk to Commissioner Kinloch every week. I see him all
mm-hmm.
the time, and I did not know any of this. So I'm glad I'm up listening to the show this morning, learning some
and
stuff.
And I have the second one, Michael, is Michigan a red state or a blue state?
Blue.
We were red for a minute when we went for Trump. When we voted for Biden, the last election, it flipped us back to blue. And now that we are democratically led, I would say that we're back to blue. But we're like a positive state.
So what's the answer? Hey,
the answer is blue. Kimberly had it right, and you had it right too, Michael, but Kimberly broke it down exactly to what happens because states can flip from one color to the next depending on the outturn of the vote. So the vote, when people are voting, it determines what changes your state. So if you've got more people voting toward Republican, that can flip your state from blue to red. And then when you have that vote, the next voter turnout. It depends on voting people coming out to vote. So if more Democrats are coming out to vote and their state is red, then you can flip it back blue. And here's a little breakdown coming from GG's.com. It's called List of Blue States. So Michigan is a list. It's actually a blue state, but the terms are used red, blue, to expand to the difference between states being perceived as liberal and those perceived as being conservative. It's now seen that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party use these color schemes to kind of like, you know, it's like a determination of the party. So, however, the fun fact is that another party, either of the party national committees has officially accepted these color designations, although they use them, you know, as a common term for red state, blue state. But neither one of these parties have accepted those colors officially as their color designation. So that's just something that's been used in a common factor, but it's not an official color. It's not officially known or used for either one of those parties. So that's another little fun fact I thought you guys would love. And then the blue states and the red states are referred to as states who voters predominantly choose either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party for the presidential or senatorial candidates. So there you have it. Those are my fun facts for the day. But Kim, you nailed it. You actually nailed it.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
I like that. Henrietta, you're on to something. Can you do that on a regular basis and try to stump the Sunday morning team? Because you got us today.
I want to do that. I will absolutely do that, Michael, because I'm moving into a mindset of if we want to, you know, we're using so much of social media and podcasting, and it's really, really hard getting out to people because people are still in that mindset of they don't really want you at their door. They don't really want to still have you up in their face. So I want to try to figure out another avenue along with, you know, still getting out there face-to-face to informing our community. And because our audience is growing and we have, you know, so many people listening every Sunday, I want to give the people some type of political information that would help them think about, hey, I didn't even know who that was. So now I know who to go to. Now I know how to think about what's going on in my state and how to approach and who to approach when I have questions and concerns. So, yes, Michael, I would definitely use as part of my political analyst conversation every Sunday.
Great. Wow. That's a new feature, Stump, with Henrietta Ivy. Great. All right. I want to welcome another member of the Sunday morning team, gospel artist, minister, Minister Randall Smith. Good morning, sir.
How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Hi, Reverend Randall.
The team is here. The team is all here. How are you, Minister?
Good, good. Love you all so much.
Same here. We love you too.
We love you too.
I know you're probably on your way to service this morning.
Yeah. I just pulled up to help my big brother and big sister to Hold the Light Church.
Well, great. I know you're going to have a great, exciting morning, praise and worship.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to check in with the Sunday morning team. And we all family. So we appreciate you. Appreciate you, Minister.
Listen, when you get time, I need to speak with you, Evangelist Ventura.
You came from another angle this time, man. I tell you.
Yeah.
I tell you. You know, you church people still trying to make me a minister.
Well, you got to get
Lord.
To living first. But anyway.
That's right.
I need
That's
to speak
right.
with you. I need to see, so somebody said, "That's right." But give
yes,
me a call
sir.
Later on the deal.
Yes, sir.
Love y'all.
For sure.
You see
all right,
y'all
love
soon.
You too. Have a great day.
Okay. Right, look, I was just looking at something. A woman was arrested after authorities discovered her boyfriend's body in Alabama. Clayton County Sheriff officials said in July 2019, Sean Jackson was reported missing by his live-in girlfriend. During the investigation, authorities determined that Jackson was having an affair, and Hurt, that's her name, found out. The day he was reported missing, authorities said Hurt confronted him outside his mistress's house, and they went home and fought throughout the night. He was missing by morning. she said she told police he had left in the middle of the night.
Well, I guess he did.
I guess right.
I guess he did.
For real.
Y'all ain't right.
Yeah. But it's just like, ooh. When people right. gonna start messing around and
well,
finding out,
right.
I'm just saying,
right? The y'all ain't lying.
She was
that's
like,
not, you know, a guy, a man lost his life here, you know.
Sorry, it was the way that it was presented. Just left it open for that couple. He just left it open, and that it open for
that.
You
see the way he left?
I bet, guess he ought to
do
better
know
than
he
that.
Left his world.
He knew what his girlfriend was all about.
She already knew.
Now why?
Because he's gonna get away with it.
Silly. Why he go home?
Right.
I could have told him that. You know, don't go home. Don't go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't go home.
You just let her throw your stuff out on the porch. But don't
absolutely.
Go home and go to sleep.
Don't go home.
I could have warned him and told him, do not go home and go to sleep.
Do not go home.
She went over the mistress's house to get you.
Mm-hmm.
She knew all about it. She found out. She went and got him. And then he goes home and goes, no. Then he left in the middle of the night. Come on.
He realized that he
had caused his disappearance. Wow. Wow.
So where'd they end up finding his body at, Michael? What was the outcome? How did they discover that she did all of the
They had been investigating it and found out they said he was shot 3 times while he was sleeping. 3 times in the head. And then she called her brother to help him remove the body.
And get rid of the evidence.
Wow.
Unfortunately, she's now in the Clayton County Jail, and he's also in prison too. So they both were charged with malice murder, possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime, tampering with evidence, and concealing the death of another person. So she got her. She got her brother.
But she's gone for life. She's never getting out. She's never getting right.
I would have told her, I don't want to know nothing about this. Yeah, this on you.
Yep.
Don't call me. I don't have nothing to do with this. That's on y'all.
She should have just put up a billboard.
And that could have been detrimental
to him instead of killing him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the brother, see, me, I'm the type of person, if you do dirt, don't call me.
Right.
My family knows not to call me.
My family knows not to call me. If you calling me to help you do what? I don't know you. Why are you on my phone? Click. You're not getting no.
And that's like some of these mothers who stand behind their sons, and they know.
Yep.
They know. He's bad. Mm-hmm. If I had a son... that was like that, trust me, if he did something wrong, I'm not going to be defending him, talking about, he would never do this, he would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Look,
mm-hmm.
you need to look at the facts. You know him. You know your kids. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what they're capable of, and you know their attitudes. You know what, you know, no, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, keeping them.
Let's go to Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Come on, help us out, sister.
I can't give you any help today, Michael, because I'm angry. I'm angry.
What?
And let me tell you why I'm angry. Because Ralph Yarrow, I cannot stop saying his name. That young man was 16 years old who went to go ring the doorbell to pick up his sibling was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I learned about this story, he went to three houses, three, Michael, for help. Henrietta, could you imagine your child? Because the first two houses wouldn't help him. The first two houses wouldn't help him. So it has been said that when Andrew Lester, the white guy who shot him, he shot through the glass of his locked door and shot him in the head and then stepped out on his porch and shot him in the arm. I guess he was just trying to shoot him. And
he was just trying to shoot him.
Ralph was able to get up and run immediately, and the white guy told him, don't come back here anymore. The young man went to the first house. Nobody would help him. Went to the second house. Nobody would help him. When he got to the third house, they made him, I guess, kneel and put his hands above his head and called the police. The two days after that, there was
like
a cheerleader.
Was a bank robber.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's just
for coming up and knocking on your door, and then to make him get on the ground
he was a criminal. That's why I'm angry, Michael. And then 2 days later, there was a cheerleader from Baylor who got into a car. You know, by mistake.
I walked towards it. I thought it was my car.
You
know.
We've all done that.
Walked up to a car. Somebody else's car a few years ago thinking it was mine.
Listen, this is going to scare y'all. I was out canvassing. And Kim, I'm beginning to let you get back. I was out canvassing last year, and I got into somebody's car who looked just like mine. And I was like, dang, I didn't know I parked this close to the corner. Didn't realize I had parked up the street, but the car looked so much like mine. The door was open. I got in that car. And I'm like, why does this car look funny?
What?
And I was sitting there looking around like this. Literally, for about a minute, I sat in that car trying to figure out why my car was looking different. I realized I was in the wrong car. I'm like, why is the cigarettes in my car? Let me tell you, I got out of that car so fast because, you know, I literally could have lost my life or been behind, could have got beat. I got into an open car that wasn't mine. It's an easy mistake.
It's an easy mistake. And with canvassing, with DoorDash, Uber Eats, Instacart, all kinds of delivery services, people are always coming through neighborhoods and on people's porches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am tired of reading about people shooting at people. And what's interesting to me about Andrew Lester, his grandson has been doing a national circuit. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And his grandson, my family had to distance themselves from my grandfather because he's racist. He believes in the QAnon, the election deniers, the abortion theories, and some other things. And so I'm just like, when are we going to have this conversation in this country? Well, we talk about guns because, Michael, at the start of the show, you talked about what's happening in Greektown. I'm going to be real honest. I don't go to Greektown after dark. Out there is no event that could draw me downtown. I work downtown. Mm-hmm. I go downtown during the day, but after 5 o'clock, no, thank you. Mm-mm. No, I will not visit any establishment because people feel too freely to carry their guns. And I know that Council Member Mary Waters wants to put up a gun-free zone, and people have criticized her for it. I'm like, okay, but what's the solution? Because if everybody's carrying a gun, it's just the wild, wild west, and it's whoever gets to shoot first. And for those of us that don't want to carry a gun, because we want to control ourselves or don't want to have the responsibility, because that's what the police and law enforcement are for. We're stuck in the middle, you know, between people who just want to shoot at each other because that's what you can do. And that's all that we have going on. People are just shooting at each other. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture. Matthew 5:21 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment." It's going to be a whole lot of people. We're going to be sitting here saying, but Lord, I was just carrying because I was trying to protect myself. See how that works out for you.
And then just as we've been sitting here, a news article came out from CNN that says that gun purchases are on the increase with all of these mass shootings. I mean, people across America are becoming extremely frightened, and gun sales are going way up right now, way up.
And during COVID, just a fun fact for you, during COVID, gun sales had increased then too. But you know what was in shortage? Bullets. That says something right there. That does. Think and let that ponder. Ponder on that and figure out why was food in shortage, but guns were in great supply.
You know, this country is one of the wealthiest in the world, if not the wealthiest. Mm-hmm. We've got the best university. We've got the biggest companies here. We've got all that we need to live. All the food, money, but one thing, this is a very violent country. And other
we were founded in violence, Michael. Yes. We were founded in violence.
Worse than the Wild West back in the days out in the open frontier when, you know, there was lack of justice and all that stuff. We have police departments all over the place now, and it's worse than the Wild West. This is got some problems. This country has got some stuff. We got race relations problems. We've got violence problems. And we have this, there's a lot of sexual violence out here now. We've got some major problems, and you know, God is looking at what America is doing right now, and you know, He was kind enough, merciful, and graceful enough to give all this to this country, even though it was built on our backs anyway. Slavery and racism. But the fact that we have all of this and we have we are destroying this country with the problems here. We got a lot. But that's why we have to continue to do the things that we do, the be involved in government decision making, to make things better, whatever we're doing, you know, we need to be able to say, this is what I did. You know, the first poem in my book is about doing whatever I can to improve my community with the gifts that God has given me. That's what I think we're all here to do, make things better. And on that note, I want to thank you guys. It's been a great conversation this morning. I can't wait to push this out this afternoon. Nurse Nikki, thanks for the information you gave. Henrietta, I like that trivial thing you got going now. And Kimberly, thanks for your input. Always well prepared. And, of course, the rest of the team that we're not able to stay or call in this morning. But thank you, guys. Have a blessed day. Be safe out there. And God bless you all.
God bless everyone. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is gonna be all right. Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky.